All right, Ephesians chapter number 6, if you'll stand with me. Thought about just reading the verses, but Colin's here and he hasn't been here to hear all this, so he needs me to read the whole thing for him. So I'm going to read verse number 10 through verse number 20. It's so fun having him around and having a punching bag again. It's wonderful. Verse number 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is where we'll be in verse 18 through 20 this evening. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray one more time tonight. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so grateful for my time in it and studying through this passage. And Lord, it brings joy to know that we have access to you, to be able to come and to speak with you, and to know that you hear our prayers. But God, tonight, I need your help as we get through this passage and we learn the truths that are here. I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us to be people of prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. World War I, you know, that's really difficult to say. I had to practice that because I get tongue twisted and anyway, World War I was a war unlike anything that the world had really seen up to that point. The world was being introduced to new technology because of electricity. And it was being introduced to a very valuable tool called the radio. And you'll see a picture that comes up there. This is a radio that's being used during World War I. The radio, like most of us understand, it was a wireless way to send and receive messages. It was revolutionary. Really was. Although the technology was still in its infancy, and they had these huge boxes that they had to lug around and all kinds of things like that, it was helpful for them to be able to gain an advantage in the battle. And all these years later, and it's still being used by the military and law enforcement and aviation and many other industries and organizations. Of course, we have improved on the radio. So I've got a couple here. These are our security radios, so they don't have any tonight. I'm just kidding. These are extras, okay? I'm just kidding. So we've improved on them. We've made them digital instead of analog, which is very important. It helps strengthen the signal. We've made them smaller. We've added batteries. We've made them a lot more useful and a lot more easy to use and to get around. So, and they're also a lot more powerful. I mean, you can go long distances between these, unlike you could before. In fact, let's just say this evening, I decide to get on this radio and make a call and say, I need help. You would get to see our security team in action. I'm not going to do that tonight, okay? But you would get to see them. They're very useful tools. So the important thing is about this radio is whenever our security team is on duty, these are always on. They have to be on. Why do they have to be on? Because they need to be in constant communication with one another. There is not a period of time where you come onto this campus that our security team does not have their radios on. It's a very valuable tool. But sometimes the communication between them is very short. It's verifications that everyone is still connected, that everybody is in their place. At other times, there's longer conversations happening because of maybe an ongoing situation. And tonight, we're going to discuss the last item here in the soldier's armor. Well, time out. Wait a second. Wasn't the sword the last item that we were talking about? Well, technically, yes. However, he mentions something else that is vital. And we're going to use the radio to illustrate it. You know, Paul didn't give us an illustration for prayer, so we're going to use radios, okay? I know he was describing a soldier and armor and everything else, but we're going to use radios. And of course, tonight, we're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer. It's awesome when you first get saved and you're on fire for the Lord and you're reading His Word, you're growing. You begin to, maybe you're like me, and when I was 17 years old and I got saved and I began to pray to the Lord and I began to see Him work in my heart and change me, and I was asking Him for things and I was seeing those prayers answered. I began to grow and began to develop and began to make some good decisions because the Lord was guiding me. The Lord was directing me. I was having that quiet time with the Lord. You're watchful. As you grow, you begin to experience the blessings of God and you start making good decisions and you stop falling into sin and the temptation like you used to and like that you did before. But somewhere along the way, we start thinking that our own effort is creating the blessings around us. So we start leaning into our own abilities a little bit. And although we would never say it, our actions prove that we think we've reached a level where we don't need God as much as we did when we first got saved. And I want to tell you tonight, you're never going to get to a place where you don't need God. No matter what stage you are in the Christian walk, you will never reach a point where you don't need God as much as you did before. I find that every single day I just need Him more and more and more. We forget about John 15:5 that says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." You can do nothing. I've thoroughly enjoyed the summer series and going through all these, and I didn't read all through it because of Colin, even though it was fun to say that. But I like to remember them. I like to think about them. I want us to remember something very important, though. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, they have not been supplied from our own armory. They were not supplied by us. They were supplied by Him, from His armory. It has all come from God's armory. And if we're going to be sustained in the battle that we are facing, we must be in constant communication with the armory through prayer. With God's armory through prayer. So in verse number 18 is where our text is. We're going to start out here. And it's simple two words that it begins with. And it says, praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You know, I was thinking through this and I was thinking through, you know, it's not good when you hear a newsflash on the television and it says, we've lost radio contact. You ever heard a headline like that or seen one or heard one? We've lost radio contact. Well, it happened in March of 2014, and maybe you'll remember it. Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. It was a Boeing 777 with 227 passengers and 12 crew members on board. And it disappeared 38 minutes after takeoff. And although they found some debris, it still remains one of the greatest modern-day aviation mysteries when they lost contact. There were so many radios on there. There were so many ways to communicate. There was even satellite tracking of this airline. It seems so unlikely that the plane of that size could disappear. However, The last words that were spoken over the radio on flight MH370 were this: "Good night, Malaysian 370. And that's all they heard. I wonder if that's how God feels with us sometimes. He's given us access. He's given us every single thing that we need. He sent His Son to die on the cross so that His shed blood would cover your sins, so that you could have access into the very throne room of God. Yet there's so many times where it's silent. And God doesn't hear from us for a day. He doesn't hear from us for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a week, a month. Maybe it's been a long time since you've had true communion in prayer with God. We have everything that we need, but for some reason we have lost communication. Why do we go long periods without praying? Why do we make decisions without first consulting the Lord? Why do we go on radio silence and we just turn everything off? And we hear silence. God hears nothing from us. Why is that the case? Well, I could say maybe in the teen years, you know, a lot of the teens have come through the summer and maybe they had a struggle before this summer because of I remember when I was a teenager, it was my pride, my laziness, my love of the world, maybe my love of the things of the world. And the one who sent His Son to die on the cross for us is wanting to hear from us, but I was just distracted, whatever the case is. Maybe when you're a parent, you've put God on radio silence because you're just too busy with all of the things that the demands of work and the demands of being a parent and the demands here and there. And it seems like always something's always coming up and you're not able to get to that prayer time. Maybe when you get older, we put God on radio silence because we just don't feel like it. We just don't feel like it. And you see what I'm getting at? There's always an excuse. There is always an excuse for us to put God on radio silence. No communication with Him. The fact of the matter is that we need to pray without ceasing. What does it say? Praying always. We need to be in that, have that constant communication with our Savior. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to be in constant communication with the Lord? Well, I can tell you that as studying through the book of Daniel, we find Daniel praying 3 times a day. He had set times where he was going to go to the Lord and nothing was going to get in the way. Even when he was threatened with death, nothing was going to stop him from spending time with his Savior 3 times a day. And I'm sure as he went through the day and maybe he ran into a situation, in his heart he was praying to the Lord about it and seeking God's face each and every time. So teenagers, maybe all year long, you've been on radio silence with the Lord and you haven't been talking to the Lord. And this summer, for the first time this year, you finally started talking to the Lord again. You started asking Him for things. You went to camp and you heard some messages and God really spoke to your heart. He started helping you get out of the sin that you were in. He started helping you go down the road where you're going to have peace and you're going to have understanding and you're going to have joy and all those things. And He's helped you. He's helped you because you've been speaking with Him. You've been walking with Him. You started communicating again and God started strengthening you. The temptations that you were battling, they don't seem as strong as they were before. I want to tell you this, don't quit. Stay in communication with Him. Stay in constant communication, praying always. Pray without ceasing. Mom and Dad, you prayed and prayed that that baby would be healthy. You prayed every single day for your spouse to get through that pregnancy and to have this child. And now they are healthy and you're having trouble keeping up with everything. So you've been on radio silence with God. I want you to beware. Our enemy, the Bible says, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy your marriage, and he wants to destroy your children. And if he can get you to turn the radio off because life is busy, you need God just as much now as when you're in the operating room or you're in the delivery room or wherever you're at. You need him just as much now. Stay in communication with him. Don't turn it off. Every single day. Better stay in touch with Command Central to keep supplied with some spiritual strength to keep your marriage strong and have effective service to our Lord. Maybe you've been through these stages of life, and circumstances have caused you to go on radio silence with the Lord. You don't have meaningful prayer life. Everybody in here would look at you and they would see that you've been in church all your life, but you haven't been walking with the Lord. You haven't been praying with the Lord. Let me encourage you. All those burdens that you're carrying, take them to the Lord. Ask him for strength. Our world doesn't need more complaints. It needs some intercessory prayer. Let me repeat that. Our world does not need more complaints. It needs intercessory prayer. Pray that God will make you an effective witness. Pray for a burden for souls. Pray for a burden for your neighbor. Let me warn you about putting God on radio silence. When your sword gets dull, your shield is taken blow after blow after blow, you're going to need some sharpening and some reinforcement. And there is no other place where you can get that than at God's armory. On your knees before him, asking him, praying to him to help you each and every step of the way. There is no other place that you can get forgiveness than through prayer. There is no other place that you can get spiritual strength than through prayer. Begging God and asking him. There's no other place you can get wisdom than from him. It comes from him. Keep the line of communication open between you and the Lord. So it says praying always. And then it says with all prayer and supplication. With all prayer and supplication. Now, the word prayer here is used to really identify God. God Almighty. One commentator put it this way. It says, no wonder Satan feels threatened when the believer prays. It is not the weak and stammering believer he fears, nor the wandering and inadequate prayer he makes. The fact that a child of God is appealing to the Almighty Father is what causes Satan to fear. We are feeble people. We are feeble folk. The devil's not afraid of you, and he's not afraid of me. But I'll tell you this, he's afraid of my Heavenly Father. Why does Satan keep attacking you? Why are you losing? Because the devil has nothing to fear. Why does he have nothing to fear? Because it's silent. It's silent. There's nothing. The radio has been turned off. The communication has been turned off. It's time to get it back on. Get that communication going. What are you struggling with day to day? Why are you struggling day to day with the same thing over and over and over? Because we are relying on our own strength to sustain us. And if we are relying on our own strength to sustain us in this world, the temptations that are there, the wickedness that's there, we are going to fail. But God has the answer. Supplication means petition, to ask for. I remember living in Vermont, and see, there's some communication going on right there. Somebody's in constant communication. I remember living in Vermont, and I think we had probably three or four kids. I lost track of how many at that moment. It was all kind of blur. I do remember getting to a place, and if you're honest, you'll get to a place where you're complacent in your prayer life. And I remember being in that place, and I didn't have the best attitude because I was working long hours at my job, and then I would work with the teens, and it seemed like I didn't have time for my family like I wanted to, and my relationships at home weren't what I wanted them to be. And when I went to ministry, it was honestly, it was more of a drudgery, just facing the battles because I was working with teenagers, and teenagers are wonderful people. You are wonderful. No, I'm just kidding. But no, they have issues and they need leadership and they need things all the time. And sometimes they just want to hang out. And I'm like, but I just want to go take a nap. There was a lot of stress and I was being complacent. I remember Pastor Matt Perkins, who's now pastoring in Plainview, preaching on prayer. And he gave a quote by Spurgeon that I remember to this day. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. I don't know why it stuck with me, but probably because I was trying to flex my own muscles and get through life on my own and just hunker down. That's the way I was taught. You just work through it. You just get through it. You just do it. You just wake up and you go to your job and you just do it. You put your head down and you get your work done. But inside, I was just rotting. Why is that? Because I wasn't spending meaningful time with the Lord in prayer like I should. I thought I needed a vacation. I thought I might need a new job. I thought that I might need to change things up with my ministry. But all along, I just needed to reconnect with my commander. I needed to spend some more time with him. So I started getting up at 5 a.m. every morning. Still doing everything else, I started getting up at 5 a.m. every morning, going to a quiet place and praying. And you know what I learned? I learned that prayer is a battlefield. Prayer is a battlefield. It's not easy. Distractions come, thoughts come, and I often caught myself daydreaming instead of praying. But I just stayed committed. And I watched God do a work in my heart. I watched him do a great work in my heart. Did things get easier? No, they did not get easier. The circumstances didn't get easier. But God began to strengthen me and give me wisdom that I needed to face the battles that I was dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so you know what? I can tell you that there's one thing that I prayed for years and really prayed for even when I graduated Bible college. And I was, you know, I was going through, I was following the Lord, trying to do his will. But I got into that meaningful communion with God. And it's like the Lord just kept putting it on my heart, putting it on my heart, putting it on my heart. Well, what was that? Well, I wanted the opportunity to serve at Bethany Baptist Church. All the way from the time I met my wife and I walked on the campus and met a lot of people that were here, saw the spirit that was here. You know, so that was in my heart. It was in my heart to serve here. But I was serving there. And it's like, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue on? Are you going to? And so I just continued that meaningful time with the Lord. I was completely content serving bivocational in Vermont, but the Lord just kept impressing it on me and pressing it on me. And I just felt a love for this church, and I couldn't explain it. So eventually, just continuing to do, and I wish I could go through the whole story with you, but I just continually praying to the Lord, seeking his face, and he began to open up doors that I couldn't open up. And 10 years later, we're here at Bethany Baptist Church. We're getting to serve. And so I was thinking to myself, well, is life easier now? And I think you can go to all of our staff and you can ask them, is it easy working at Bethany Baptist Church? And you know what you would hear? No, it's not easy. It's not easy. But you know what? If you go to the Lord and you spend time with him, he will give you the strength to sustain you in any battle, no matter where you're at, whether it's in Vermont, whether it's in the Northeast, whether it's here, where no matter what place it's at, whether you're on deputation and you're going to church after church after church, whether you're in England, whether you're in Japan, wherever you are, he is going to sustain you. He will give you exactly what you need. But I know the strength that I needed and I need for the battles I face is not found in me. It's found in him. And I need to be in constant communication with my Lord. So it talks about It continues on. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I want to read you something, and I'm not going to be long. We're coming to a close here. But I want to read you something. This is from John Phillips' commentary, because I think he says it much better than I can. It says, praying in the Spirit doesn't mean... praying in the Spirit doesn't mean to be going into a trance or speaking an ecstatic utterance. The Holy Spirit does not overpower our mental faculties. He directs, but he does not dominate. The direction of the Holy Spirit is the ultimate solution to wandering, wicked, and worldly thoughts. He gently inclines our thoughts through channels he has in mind. He brings to our minds those passages of Scripture that are most appropriate to the moment. He brings us to the gentle assurance that our prayers are heard and that he controls all the factors of space and time that are involved in the answer to our prayers. Praying in the Spirit, he is there to direct our prayers. He is there to help us to pray. And when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is there to take those and to communicate to God, saying, this is what they're trying to say. This is what the request is. You know, it's amazing to be able to have not only God and we have salvation, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have this direct line of communication to God. And so often we just don't. We get busy, whatever the reason is, we just turn it off. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. The last thing that I want to discuss with you tonight is persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Not necessarily even what it's talking about here, not persistent prayer. Obviously, we have issues and we have burdens. But I want you to notice what it says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching. Watching. We are well aware of our own needs. We don't have to have somebody come up and say, hey, you need this in your life. We're well aware. I love me, you know. I know what my needs are. But I don't know what all your needs are. And what this is describing here and what Paul is getting at is for these saints at Ephesus to not only look on their own needs and talk to God and communicate to God, but watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Be watchful of the needs of others and be in prayer for the needs of others. When you get opportunity to get around somebody and you begin to talk to them and they begin to share a burden with you, write it down and begin to pray for that person. Your prayer list that you have tonight, it's us trying to help out with watching for the needs and the cares of other people. It's important. We are well aware of our own needs. But we are instructed to watch for the needs of others and pray for the needs of others. Paul was asking and pleading for those at Ephesus to pray for him, to pray for utterance and opportunity to spread the gospel. So look at verse number 19. He says, for all saints, in verse 18, then verse 19, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what I noticed? Paul was not asking. His prayer request was not, church at Ephesus, please pray that I will get out of prison. That wasn't his prayer request, was it? His prayer request was, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because it didn't matter what circumstance and situation. If he wasn't in prison, he was going to be shipwrecked. You know what I mean? If he wasn't shipwrecked, he was going to be beaten. Whatever the case was, he wasn't asking. Maybe he liked being in jail, at least he wasn't being on the sea or somewhere else. But whatever the case is, you look at Paul and you see him here and he's not asking for himself, but he's asking that they would pray for him to have utterance so that he could give the gospel to others, that others may come to know the Lord. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read through verse number 8, and I want you to just get the heart here. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And listen to verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Maybe, just maybe, you've been focused on yourself. And maybe your prayer time is all about my problems and me and my needs and what I have to do and my family and everything else that's going around in my world. We have an example in Paul and we have an example in Jesus Christ that they kind of put themselves to the side and they began to watch for the needs of others. What would our church be like if all of us cared more about the person sitting next to us than we did ourselves? And when we got to prayer time, we began to pray for that person's need, like it was our own. I think God would be pleased. I think God would use it. Maybe you've been focused on yourself, and even when Paul asked for prayer for himself, it wasn't to escape prison or a difficult situation. His prayer request was that he might be able to boldly preach the gospel. We have much to pray for. You look at the list, and we have much to pray for. We need to be in constant communication. We don't need these to go off. We're thankful that our security team, they keep them on. What about you? There's something more important than our security team being alert and able to get in here and to take care of whatever need that arises. There's something much more important going on. It's a spiritual battle. So this morning, this past week, has yours been on? Have you been talking to the Lord? Have you been communicating with Him? Has the line of communication been open? Maybe it's been a long time since you've had meaningful communication with God. Let me just tell you, just like all those years ago, probably 12, 13 years ago, when I was going through that, and I'm not saying that I haven't had issues since then. Trust me, I've had plenty. You can talk to my wife if you'd like. But I remember specifically God bringing that message at that moment, and it changed my life. Just by getting into the Word and hearing it preached and getting on my face before God day after day and seeking Him and wanting and desiring Him. And now the Lord has allowed us to be here for 10 years and serve in such a wonderful church and to be able to be involved. And it's wonderful. I love it. It's not easy, but I love it. Love serving the Lord, and He will give you the strength to sustain you no matter what situation you're at. If you have not had meaningful communication with God in a long time, that can change tonight. It can change tonight. Let's pray.